That's Ruthie and the Wranglers here with us on the Jukebox of Americana. Composition titled, Tell Them What They Ought to Do, as we're celebrating the letter T today. Well, you know, tell them. That's how it fits right in there. Well, Ray Mason doesn't have T in his name, nor is it in the title of the brand new CD that he's part of with the Lonesome Brothers. But nonetheless, we're going to visit with him and the new release formed in 1986. Then members Jim Armenti and Ray Mason weren't busy when they weren't busy with their own projects. The Lonesome Brothers crafted their alternative country for years before they started recording it. And that's ever so true. And boy, once they started recording it, they just put together a fine body of work, both collectively and independently. And we're just graced right now to have Ray Mason on the phone to tell us about him and about this brand new release. Ray, how you doing?
Great to hear from you. Yeah, like I said, it's been a while. Now, one thing right off the bat, very happy birthday to you, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's the big 6-6, you know. I'm so happy to be here on this side of it. So
very, very, very nice. Yeah. Good and I got to correct you on one thing that we formed in 85, so we get an extra year there.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Well, you're going to have to fix that, the bio on the...
Really? It says that in the bio? Oh, right.
Well,
okay,
no, somewhere. Well, you know, when you go searching for the Lonesome Brothers, there's a lot of you folks out there. I mean, a lot of info for
you. Been together 37 years, 36. Is it going to make that much of a difference?
There we go. It's important that you're here right now, and this really just is a fine release that you have.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that.
Why don't you jump in and first tell us about the Lonesome Brothers. A lot of folks listening right now have no idea who you are, yeah. Let alone the band.
Well, yeah, the band right now, Jim Armenti and I started the band back in 85. We were, you know, playing in a country western band together, the Yankee Rhythm Band, and of course I had my own thing going too. And we would play, like, you know, different places, like four sets a night doing... you know, Hank Sr. and Merle Haggard, Buck Owens, Johnny Cash, you name it, all kinds of classic stuff. But, of course, we're songwriters, too. And then, you know, I had my own band going at the same time and playing solo gigs. And then on the side, we started this other thing, and we didn't have a name. And we were playing in Barry, Mass. At the Barry Hotel, which doesn't exist anymore. And we'd do a Tuesday night there, and we had no name. And one night on the way to the gig, we said we had to come up with a name because we go there and we have no name. People look at us, you know, yeah. And so we thought Everly Brothers on the way, yeah, love the Everlys. Lonesome, okay, yeah, Lonesome Highway, Hank Sr., whatever. Okay, we're putting those together. Lonesome, from now on, we're Lonesome Brothers. And that was it. So that was the beginning. And then one thing led to another. We just started booking gigs doing that and, you know, doing our own material. Most of Jim's at first, then mine crept in too because I wrote a lot of songs, and eventually now it's been for a while just half and half, you know, and, half Jim's songs, half mine. We kind of alternate kind of like that.
I was going to say,
two different drummers. Our current drummer, Keith Levereaux, has been in the band for a while, and he was the... He played in my band when he was very young, and he was the drummer in Blood Oranges, and he played with Kevin Salem in New York City and different people over the years, and Eric Amble and stuff. And so he's been with the band for a while, and this is the first album he's been on drums. So, you know, we kind of work at our own pace, kind of old school in a way. Just kind of because people would go, hey, what's the release date on that? I guess Jim had to come up with a number for the actual pressing, you know, but the company wanted to know. But, I mean, we just say, yeah, we just put it out when we feel like it.
Right.
That's our release date.
Well, it's a nice thing with the Lonesome Brothers. You do rotate between the two of you.
Yeah, we do that live, too. We like to brag that we came up with that whole idea.
Okay, yeah.
Not that we did, of course, but, you know, it's kind of, you know. We just say whatever we want to say. Going back and forth. You know, it's Jim's turn, my turn.
Yeah. Well, as my
don't write sets, so it's never the same thing. So.
Sure. As my organizational skills will go, I was listening to the album, and actually, I even recorded it, so I'd have a copy of it. But we're gonna have to turn to the Spotify release of this, as I can't find the CD cover right now. So we're actually going to open up with this, if we may. We want to review most of the album, if we might. Where Good Souls Go.
Oh, yeah, yep.
We have that in the background right now. Is this one of yours or one of his?
It's one of mine, yeah. I think this might be the first time, too. I'm not sure about that. I have to check. You think I would know that one of my tunes was might be the lead-off song on a lonesome. I think it's usually Jim's and mine, and we kind of might have changed things up here. We don't even think about those things, really. I guess it just kind of happened that
they
way.
They just happen. Well, this is the lead-off track, at least what's on Spotify. Let's give it a listen.
Okay.
Sure, I'll miss some things about living here on the ground. Like my baby calling me, oh, how I love that sound. We'll meet again, I know, in a different time and place. Just gotta remember to save some space. I'll send my soul to where the good souls go. Don't let me veer off from this track. Just send my soul to where the good souls go. There'll be no reason for me turning back. We're not in an only world.
Well, I have to tell you, Ray, when I popped the CD in and I heard that, there was nowhere to go but all the way to the end of the release.
Whoa. That's a good sign, then. That's a good sign.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And you know,
it's a better sign than hearing part of a song. Go, okay, that's enough of that.
Well, unfortunately, that's what we're going to do here with this chit chat, but no, only because we want to try, if we may, to get a taste of flavor.
Yeah,
of
I don't know if I'm the best
album
commentator on all the songs, but I can give you some historical facts.
That's
too,
what
at the
we're
same
interested
time,
in.
You know,
here,
like even
yeah,
like the cover. You know, we're standing yeah, in front of this shut down building, but there's a history uh-huh, to that too. Yeah.
Oh, and tell us about that history. Yeah, for
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Now you want me to tell you now?
Yeah, go ahead.
What am I waiting for?
What are you waiting for?
Well, we're standing in front of this shutdown building that says Hollywood, which was the name of this club, like that country band I named before I told you about.
Uh-huh.
We used to play there every few months way back in the day, and we'd do like four nights a week there, four sets a night. You know, you'd basically move in and, you know, in a jukebox right when you walked in the door, and then a little stage, and on the wall behind the stage was a velvet, instead of a velvet Elvis, they had a velvet Johnny Cash with flying saucers moving around behind him, behind his head. And I often wonder whatever happened to that. But anyway, those photos were taken by Brandy Edis, great photographer, and she took those of us in the morning, like at 10 in the morning. This club was on Routes 5 and 10 in Bernardston, Massachusetts, out in Western Mass. And so now it was shut down at that time. You can see all the boards on there, but the big name Hollywood was still on the side of the building, so it was a perfect shot. When we saw the photo she took, the minute we saw that, we said, that's an album cover right there. You know, it's
right,
panoramic kind of in its own way. And now, unfortunately, though, about 8 or 9 months ago, maybe a little more, and the building was demolished, you know, so that building is not even there anymore. It doesn't stand anymore, so it's kind of a little tribute to that, I think, too.
Right, and you popped the
lonesome. You know, you had different, I could think of different, you know, a lot of records, of course, and stuff.
Right.
You know, I was thinking, well, Hollywood, you have Jayhawks, Hollywood Town Hall, you got Thunderclap Newman, Hollywood Dream, and you could go on and on, but this one's just Hollywood, and we're just standing there in front of that photo. So it needed to be used, that's all.
It truly is. And the way the windows are boarded is just perfect.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The certain ones are boarded. You can kind of get the picture that maybe this place isn't open for business now.
Right.
but, yeah, it's like one of those, because when you make an album, like anybody would know that you're trying to realize, well, what should the cover be? I mean, I don't know. It's kind of hard to come up with something sometime. And that was just sitting there all the while before we ever started recording this.
Sure.
It was like, we got the cover figured out already.
Excellent. Ray Mason with me on the Jukebox of Americana. Hollywood is the album that we're visiting with. Brand new from the Lonesome Brothers. Hey, let's visit with one of Jim's tracks.
Yeah, sounds good.
Government aid, keeping her
her life. New man probably shut that down. Well, we all got to die. 'Cause someone else's luck is not my problem. And I use mine to accumulate this life. No one's taking anything from me again. Well, I did my work, sweat my sweat, and I got mine. Yeah, I did my work, I sweat my sweat, and I got mine.
Well, again, out of the gate with some amazing lyric there. That's wow.
Oh, yeah, Jim's incredible, man. He's like an inspiration to me. I mean, all these years I've played with him, you know, you stand up there and then you you do one of your songs and he does one of his. I'm thinking,
oh, my
God,
gosh.
That song is so good. You know, I got to follow that.
any idea where that came out of his head?
I'm not exactly sure, you know. I just know that I love all his lyrics, you know, and he makes commentaries on things for sure, you know, and is very elegant in the way he puts it together, you know, lyrically and stuff like that. And there, of course, you have like that train beat going on, which you can't go wrong there, I don't think either, you know.
Hey, we got mixing signals up next. Here we go.
That's all you've been giving me. Walking right while you're turning me left. Hands cupped over my ears. I wanna be deaf to all your mixed signals. I just don't wanna hear them. Sometimes I wanna see you walking down the aisle. Sometimes I wanna show you to the door. Sometimes I want to take you and tell you I love you, but what for? Justine, where did we go wrong? The jukebox is playing, it's the same old song. Got the four tops spinning, but I just don't want to hear them.
Ray Mason, did you write that song for me?
I've been meaning to tell you that.
Again, just an amazing lyric and the groove on
there.
It's
a
pop hit. You
know, in my song sometimes, too, like in that song, Omega, not everyone by any means, but, you know, a record reference, you know, there's that verse in there where I mention the jukebox is playing. It's the same old song, and it's the four top single, you know, playing that, which I totally love, of course. And, but in the song thing, I'm just not in the mood to hear that now because this is all going on in this relationship, and I'm just, you know, getting frazzled by that. I don't, so, you know, it goes on. It's kind of a standard thing in a way, you know, the kind of, you know, relationship that maybe isn't working out and stuff like that. And some little piano touches on there, too, I wanted to mention, by the guy who produced the album, Tom Mankin, very talented guy, lives out in Ashfield, Mass., in Western Mass., and the studio is at his house there, so that's where we recorded, and he's also plays in a band called Trailer Park. They're known out here in Western. They play farther away, too, out in East, I think. But, so he plays every instrument, too, but he put some nice piano stuff on there, doubling my bass line and stuff in certain spots. You know, when I heard that, I went, oh, yeah, that's... Sweet. Hang on to that.
right. Well, you know, I did want to reference, you know, I love all the work that you've done and, you know, the producers behind everything else. But this album, just the production is just really fine throughout.
Yeah, he did a great job. And he's just, you know, he's our friend. We've known him for years and years. And, like, you know, it's just so relaxing situation to go and record in that kind of situation. There's no uptightness going on or anything, you know, or like, oh, we got to beat the clock or try to do this or that. You just go relax and you just... get done what you can get done, and everything moves very smooth, you know, and then he's open to any ideas. He's a musician himself, and it's like, hey, I want to put this here, or how about that, or could you do this? Yeah, whatever. We're pretty kind of old school. We just go in and we play in the studio live, basically, you know, and I don't know. That's the way that goes, and it seems to work out okay that way.
Works
we
great.
Like that approach anyway, so. It's our ninth album. Who knows when the tenth one might be coming, because we tend to take, like, so we've been together 37 years, nine albums in 37 years. You figure how many years in between, you know. You know, I'm 71, so I figure you don't want to rush these things.
Right. Ray Mason with me on the Jukebox of Americana here on your community radio station, WCUW Worcester. We're talking about the brand new Lonesome Brothers album, Hollywood. Hey, it's Jim's turn again. Here we go with Not Enough Car.
Oh, the incredible lyrics on this, you'll hear it, yeah.
Nowhere just up the road. It's looking like just another mismatch. There's too many hands for the gold. When the forest falls, it makes no sound. Not enough ears on the airwaves. Not enough car for the clowns. And too much month for the money. Too much mouth for the food. Somebody thinks this is funny, watching everybody get screwed. Somebody thinks this is funny, watching everybody get screwed.
Sampled more of that lyric just to know a little bit more about what people are getting screwed about. But I'm going to guess it's buying a car or something of the sort.
Yeah, a lot of references there, but it's great. Those lyrics are so good. Not enough this, not enough that. Uh-huh. And not saying like Dylan, like Dylan do, but the Jim is just so amazing that I've known him long enough, you can imagine these lyrics just flying out of his head, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And there they are. And we're not together because we write separately, you know? I'm never there when he's writing a song, and he's not around when I'm writing a song. We bring them in, done,
right,
basically. And then he's got a little studio at his house in West Hampton, like 20 minutes from here where I live, and go over in the morning, like 9:30 in the morning, just start laying down the things separately, you know? And then
sure. We
take them home and listen to them and stuff like that. But his lyrics are so amazing, and he just rattles them off as if he was walking down the street, you know? And I'm not saying that's the way it happened necessarily, but I'm sure he put a lot of time into them because they're so amazing. But I think he just has a knack for that kind of
mm-hmm.
like a report on something, you know what I mean? Like he's
yeah.
making comments on things.
The guitar
is so amazing. Word-wise, lyric-wise, for sure. You know?
Yeah, and the guitar throughout is just...
Oh, he's an amazing guitar player. You know, he also plays... he does play bass also, but he's a great clarinet player. He plays clarinet and klezmer, and then he can play some saxophone and stuff, you know, a little bit of drums, everything. Yeah, he can do all kinds of stuff, no doubt about that.
So the next song up is titled Never See the Sun, but I don't take you for really sleeping in the mornings. You're up early,
I don't sleep in the mornings, I'll tell you that. I don't know what time you get up, but I go to sleep. I'm still like a night owl. Other
oh,
than the
are?
Time
okay.
I might, I don't count when I nod out in a chair.
Oh, okay.
A recliner. They don't call those for lazy boys for nothing.
Yeah, well, let's see what you got to say about Never See the Sun.
Okay.
Cancel the P.O. box. This mail's at a stall. Ain't that a lot of lonely? Ain't that a lot of want? Ain't that a bit of heartache just kicking out the fun? Ain't that a lot of lonely to never see the sun? Ain't that a bit of heartache all rolled into one? Ain't that a lot of lonely to never see the sun?
Oh, and just what a sweet way to wrap that song.
Well, yeah, it has the straight four thing, and then it goes into the two beat, you know,
kind
of like the chorus, if you want to call it that, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of lonely, ain't that a lot of, yeah, never see the sun, yeah. And then, again, it's like, you know, I had the first line, I'm leaving my shoelaces untied, which I've actually done before, because I'll do something where I just have to take a quick walk somewhere, and I'm going, you know, I'm not even going to tie my shoelaces. Somebody think, oh, what if you trip, though? Yeah. I'm not going to trip. No, but then again, there's a verse where I'm packing up everything and I'm packing the trunk with my records and my clothes. Now, I'm sure there's no way you or I could fit all our records in one trip in a trunk of a car.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's just, you know, in the song, though, to make the point of, okay, I got to go, oh, I got to get out of here. I got to do this. Or, like, you know, cancel the P.O. box. This mail's at a stall. So, okay, the mail that you send from the post office at a stall. But now the mail, the man singing the song, he's at a stall. So it's a little double thing there that, you know, M-A-L-E or M-A-I-L, whatever. Anyway, I won't get into too much detail.
So you're very good at incorporating those. Is it a double entendre or what's the phrase?
I guess that could be. I think you're correct there, yeah.
Yeah.
You're smarter than me, so
I don't know about that.
Hey, Troy, whatever you say, I'm taking that.
Okay, sounds good. Well, we're going to this is going to put us at the track number 6 of this 12-track release, Poisoned in the in this well.
Oh, yeah.
This is Jim's track.
There's poison in this well. Anyone can tell by the color and the smell, by the bodies on the ground. There's poison in this well. There's fever on the land, feel it in your hands, on your skin, your summer tan. Tear gas in the air, and a fever on the land. And there's poison in this well. Anyone can tell by the color and the smell, by the bodies on the ground. There's poison in this well.
It's just captivating, just lyrically, sonically.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Masterful lyrics by Jim, no doubt about it, and the mood he's setting, you know, with those words and stuff in that song. And, again, the keyboard thing that I love in there that gives it that touch, too, that kind of feel adds to that feel, you know. Because live, we just play as a trio, but there's touches on the record you put on that you wouldn't maybe necessarily have live, but they just pad things nicely on an album, you know, that you can pick and choose. But again, I mean, yeah, that's intense there. I think you need to do a separate show with just Jim, you know, so he can really go into detail about each one of his songs.
Right.
You know, more.
We'll have to grab him on the phone here. But we got you right now, Ray Mason.
I love Poison in the Well. That's a great one. I mean, I'm a fan of this whole record, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's throughout. The next one up, I think, is yours, The Sly Requester.
Yeah, which is the title of my last solo album, which didn't have a song, The Sly Requester, on it, but this one does. But, Jim ties in with this one. I'll give you a quick thing, because it's a story that how this came about, the title and stuff like that. I went to see Jim play a solo gig out here at East Hampton at the Luthiers Co-op. He was playing solo, and I walked in the door of the place. And on the left was a guy sitting at the end of the bar, and he looks at me and goes, "Hey, do you think Jim will play such and such a song tonight?" And I go, "I don't know. Why don't you ask him?" And the guy wouldn't ask him, I guess. So I go sit down next to Jim's son, Dan, and we're sitting right in front of the stage where Jim's playing. So the guy gets up. I thought he was walking over to Jim to ask him to play a certain song, but no, he goes to the men's room. So I look at Dan, Jim's son, and I go, "Dan, that guy that just walked by, he's the Sly Requester. He wants to hear a certain song, but he's not going to ask for it." So the guy comes out, he walks back to the bar, doesn't ask Jim nothing. So I knew what song he wanted to hear from Jim, and so after a couple of songs, I asked Jim to play the song. Yeah. So Jim does it, and so the guy got to hear his song. But that's how the song, The Sly Requester, came about anyway.
Let's hear
so that
some
one
lyric.
Ties in with Jim playing.
Let's hear if we can find some lyric on it.
I know all the words and I can hum the tune. Still it feels like I'm waiting on a month of June. Sly Requester, never being heard. Sly Requester, always out at third. Sly Requester, forever fourth down. Sly
shy requester, did I hear a sound? Did I hear a sound?
There you go again, just putting a sweet, different kind of touch on the tail end, musically, sonically.
Western, yeah. And you know what I realized after I wrote that song, and recently, actually, I'm thinking, you know, that intro thing and all that stuff, it kind of rings a bell. And then I realized, well, I think that's inspired from way back on that song off Dave Mason's first solo album Alone Together called World in Changes. It's like a dent, 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 or something like that. Not the same chords, but just those kind of accents, you know. I'm thinking, geez, that kind of reminds me of that now, because I hadn't heard that in years. I'm going, geez. You know, I wasn't thinking of that when I wrote it, but I'm thinking all these things are in the back of your mind from, I started buying records in 1959, and everything I listen to is somewhere in the back of my mind, you know, somewhere. Right. Things come out, you know, but anyway, that's the Shy Requester story to it, Dojo, what happened there.
Right. Red Rover's up next, one of Jim's songs.
Red Rover, I got to say that this whole album, I mean, I love the whole thing, but I think Red Rover is probably my personal favorite because, I mean, I love all of Jim's songs. This one is incredible, though, you know, just the whole feel of it and the way he put it together and all those amazing lyrics. And it reminds me, even though it reminds me of, like the best of, like, the band, you know,
right.
Who I think were a big inspiration to me and to Jim, you know, and stuff like that. You know, there's a whole bunch of Dylan the band and stuff like that. But it reminds me of the best of the band, like something on that level, you know, that he can pull off, no doubt, you know. It's right up there, you know. So, yeah, Red Rover, I always tell him, I say, that's my favorite song on the record, yeah.
In a steady breeze, bathing in the yellow moon, I'll wander down the road to Mexico and catch a tune about a girl in feathered braids, a mariachi guitar player sings in a street parade. Red Rover, Red Rover, send someone over. Across the Great Divide, Red Rover, Red Rover, send somebody over. I'll be waiting on the other side. Friday night's big sparkled lights held the aging morning from the dawn. A blessed sight. Hours and minutes gone, the echoes of a song you can't quite find, got left behind. Even Indigo got the blues, thinking about the way things used to be, in worn out shoes. Red Rover, Red Rover, send someone over. Red Rover, Red Rover, send somebody over. I'll be waiting on the other side.
Really, I hear it.
You hear what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's right there for me. You got it too. I mean, yeah, it's just like so amazing. I mean, that's like I said, my personal favorite. I mean, I like them all, but if I had to pick one, man, that's the minute I heard that, even like before we recorded, even I said, oh man, I just love that tune. It's like, yeah.
Well, the next one,
wow.
The next one up from this release with the Lonesome Brothers is one of your compositions, Outside My Yourself, and I have
yourself,
to say,
yeah,
I have to say
pretty
that
basic, I think theme there, like take a walk out of your outside of yourself, get out and just look at things from a different angle, you know, kind of straight ahead, and I think in that song too, Outside Yourself, probably has my personal favorite line of mine, possibly on the whole record, which is "Till there's a quiet in the cough."
Okay.
I don't know why.
Well, Well, I wanted to share that, you know, I trust you and this album and the band so much that I've only listened up to track 8. So this is all brand new to me as well.
So it's fresh and new hearing it from, yeah.
Here we go. When I hear that quiet cough, I'm definitely going to be thinking of this song.
Well, another thing on that song, I have to mention, because at the very end, it just goes out with Keith playing the drum beat. Uh-huh. And that idea, I definitely, I would say I stole it, but I mean, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking of way back in the 60s track by the Hollies called Pay You Back with Interest, great song. Uh-huh. And at the very end of that record, I always remembered it because the band would just stop playing at the very end, and it was a single, too. But and Bobby Elliott, the drummer, was playing the beat at the end, like just riding the cymbal and stuff. And that was it, just the drums that would fade out. And I said, "Oh man, when I wrote this song, I'm thinking at the end, there's that line. I just want the drums to keep going at the end, just fade it out. I just do that. So that's where that came from, anyway. Just
A Hole in the Ground, another one of Jim's
compositions. Oh man, this is a heavy song. Yeah, just really rocking. This was actually the first song we recorded when we were starting this album way back. And, Jim, another commentary and everything. And when we learned this song and stuff, I said, "Jim, this, you know, I mean, it's totally your thing, but it reminds me of a cross between, like, Howlin' Wolf and ZZ Top or something." And it's heavy, you know. It's just a heavy rockin' song, which, and we got to play these live the other night, most of them anyway, just as a trio, you know, at the Luthiers Co-op in East Hampton. And we got to play this song, and it's just so heavy and rocking and so much fun to play, though. Just, you know, just laying it down, yeah, just digging into it, yeah.
Speaking with
another amazing Jim song, but it's just, yeah.
Speaking with
I've never written a bad song, so.
I've never heard a bad song for either one of you.
Right,
yeah.
Now.
We got Ray Mason on the phone visiting with the album Hollywood, brand new from the Lonesome Brothers.
Hole in the ground, hole in the ground, dump that stump in a hole in the ground, hole in the ground, hole in the ground, nobody needs that man around.
Well, I could have grabbed more of that one, but
That's what I mean by the heaviness. Yeah,
yeah, that's just great. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, that's such a blast to play live too. I mean, another amazing Jim lyric thing. I mean, you know, it's just so right out of the gate, the doom doom dan, the heavy kind of thing like that. Yeah, I don't know why I just flashed on, like, oh, Howlin' Wolf with ZZ Top.
Uh-huh.
it's Jim's thing. It's Lonesome Brothers, yeah.
Well, you follow this, this at least on the album, with the composition titled Holler to Be Heard. I think this one's yours. And did it come right
That's
after
an
that song?
A little tune, yeah. I mean, I just wrote it sitting in the, where I'm sitting now in the house, you know, in the far side room, and I just wrote it on the guitar. And then more unusual things happen to it in the studio. You'll hear that on the keyboards and stuff like that, and Jim's guitar riff and stuff like that that make it unusual, you know. Just an unusual little tune, you know, about, you know, someone trying to holler to be heard, you know. What's that I hear down the hall? You know, it's kind of eerie and creepy in a way, but I think not in a bad way. You know, it's just kind of to make you think a little.
No, I can feel the creepiness coming up here right now. Here it comes.
A holler to be heard noise. What's that I hear moving across the floor? What's that I hear moving across the floor? It's a holler to be heard noise. A holler to be heard noise. What's that I hear walking across the room? What's that I hear walking across the room? It's a holler to be heard noise. A holler to be heard noise. The only one I can't myself, the only one I can't hear is myself. Still, the only one I can be is myself.
Wow, you know, it makes me want to like whisper a holler or something. I don't know.
Either way, it would work. Yeah, whisper it. Medium yell, loud yell, whatever you want. But yeah, wow. I like what you just said. Yeah, the whisper's good. The whisper's good.
Ray Mason with me on the phone here. We got one more track from this release, Hollywood, brand new from the Lonesome Brothers. It just shines throughout, as we've witnessed here. And Ray, it's just a pleasure to hear your voice and to hear you, you know, talk with us about this new album.
And, you know, Troy, I remember your voice so well, and it hasn't changed a bit.
Yeah, well, neither is yours.
So I guess we're doing okay.
I hope so. We got to look forward to you coming and performing right here in the front room of WCUW. And I tell you, you're going to be able to get out of town a little bit easier from here than Vincent's.
Well, you know, I did play in that room at WCUW. I played that day. My wife Karen came with me, and then I went and played in that little coffee place, like half a block away or something, where they put me way down
That's
in the corner
right.
somewhere.
Yeah, the Acoustic Java.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember
and then
that
another
now.
Time I played in the room there was me and Bob Jordan doing solo sets.
Right.
I remember way back. So, boy, I don't remember what years those were. Oh, man, that was a while ago.
It's stretching back a bit.
Yeah, it does bring it back a bit anyway. I appreciate you so much doing this, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we've modified the room a little bit. It's a little more accommodating to a performance, we feel, anyway.
Yeah.
And we will figure out some way, and we'll get the whole band in here if we can.
Yeah, and we could, you know, we'll play all the tunes off this album, man, live.
Hey, we can call it a CD release party. As long as you don't do another one.
Somewhere. I've heard of those before.
Have you heard of those?
I could actually take part in one.
Excellent.
We got to do some more of those. We're going to try to line one up, like, you know, obviously in Northampton at the Parlor Room, and maybe up in Greenfield, another place up there, Hawks and Reed, too.
Right.
But, you know, I like to think, like, see, we only put out a CD every so many years. Like, this one's good for a while, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, to me, almost like every gig could be called like a CD release in its own way, because some people will show up and they'll get the CD from you, you know,
exactly.
and stuff like that. You know, and people can also, like, you know, go to the website and, like, look for our emails, because Jim and I's email are on there. And people can just email us for a copy, because do it old school. I just, like I did, to send it to you, I write a little hand note, and I wrap it around the CD, put it in an envelope, and I put it in the mail. You know?
That's the way to go. And
we're kind of old school in that way, I think. You know.
Well, folks listening right now, they can procure one of these releases from you, of course, personally like that, through the website. Right?
Yep.
That's
other ways, too. They can just they can track it down to other ways, too.
Right.
Still,
it's all over the web.
If you want to, we'll take care of you.
Excellent. Well, let's go out of this with the last track, track 12, What's in the Bag?
Oh, yeah, another great song of Jim's. Now, this song is at the end of the record, but then again, it could have been a great leadoff track, too. I mean, it's just, you know, it just has that shuffle thing to it. It starts with it, and the lyrics are amazing, as they are with Jim, for sure. And it stays in that shuffle thing the whole song. You get on that ride, and you don't get off. You're on that ride for the entire time, and you don't try to get off, because you could get hurt if you try to get off.
Well, we're going to stay with this one all the way out to the end of it. Again, thank you, Ray Mason, for being with us here. Talking about the new Lonesome Brothers release, Hollywood. It's one you want in your collection for sure. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Troy. And one last word I need to say to you again. Happy birthday again to you, sir.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Stretch that out a bit. Stretch it out.
We're going to shuffle it right along.
Okay, so good talking with you.
Hang on. Don't go away.
Oh, I won't.
How many more miles till we reach the road? How many more days?